Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cole.
What up?
Turn the SEC mixtape, man.
You talking about Bonzo Show?
Yeah. See what they talking about real quick on these games.
All right, here we go. 4th and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield, just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the reflection. Lewis is going to score.
The realest coverage in the South.
Well. SEC fans, it is now the week that we started. We waited for months. I wouldn't say quite a year, but months. It was just January. It's G. Willis. Bonzo will be calling in a little later. Waiting on a couple of calls to come on in. I got Billy coming in now. Billy, I hear you. What's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? What's going on with you? Roll Tide, this game.
Man, I'm just – oh, man. No cursing this week, brother, no cursing. What was the blast that came out your mouth, man?
I say ain't nothing going on. Roll Tide. It's game week.
Oh yeah, you did it again. Okay, so again, it's SEC week, guys. We started up big games. We'll hit on a couple of the smaller ones, but the big games, which we'll talk about probably the majority of the show, will be Alabama, Florida State, Michigan, Florida. And I want to say a lot of other cupcake games. Ohio State's playing Indiana, which has nothing to do with our show. But, hey, we're excited to see any type of football action at this point. I enjoyed the high school this past weekend. High school games were pretty good. I got to see a lot of incoming talent, not just for the SEC, but college football. Excited, man. What you got, Bonzo? How you feeling this week, man? Not Bonzo, I'm sorry, Billy. Bonzo not on yet.
Hey, I'm feeling real, real good. Feeling real good about I enjoy some high school football as well. I watched Emory Jones, you know, there, and I watched them play Sarah Land, a hometown team, not but 5 miles from Mobile. And I wanted to see exactly, you know, the type of talent that Ohio State was getting. The kid was real, real good, real athletic. And but they're a small school, and he's a athlete. But he couldn't do it all. They was real small, and Fairland just wore him down. And West from Fairland, he is the big prototypical pocket passer, you know, and they prevailed. Not to say that Emory Jones did deliver a strike in the end zone to win the game, but the receiver dropped the ball there.
Mm-hmm, okay. So you're thinking that Ohio.
Is
he a 5-star? What's his ranking?
He's the number 2 rated dual threat quarterback. So he's a 4-star.
4-star guy. Gotcha. Yeah, I watched parts of that game. It was, like you said, it was a lot of little guys out there. I watched the game from Ohio versus Pennsylvania. And that quarterback from Pennsylvania, he was unreal. I mean, he was running. He ran for over 100 yards. Oh, in the first, it was 96 yards in the first half. And he passed for almost 200 in the first half. Now, that kid was unreal, but I want to see how he looks against some big-time talent. And he's going to Notre Dame, so they should be very excited about that kid. But back to this SEC thing, man.
I want to stop you right there. Hold on, G. I want to stop you right there. Kelly.
Okay.
Let's talk about Kelly real quick, since you mentioned Notre Dame. You know, he advised the kid not to turn pro. He benched the kid.
He did.
Another kid on the quarterback. And this kid is going to be the starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yep,
So is Kelly
But it is the Cleveland Browns. It is Cleveland Browns. For his argument's sake, that's the Cleveland Browns. But
they did play somebody.
They did. And he looked pretty good. I mean, he looked he looked more athletic than I've seen him look on the field at Notre Dame. He looked very athletic.
I mean, it's called an upside, and he didn't scrimmage Cleveland. He scrimmaged some other pro teams.
Yeah, that's true. He looked good, he looked better than the other guy. Now, for their sake, and we're on the NFL right now, but the quarterback that he beat, his contract is massive. I mean, it is massive. So I don't know what kind of deal they're going to do. Because, I mean, you don't need a backup quarterback making, is it $17 million this year, something like that? It's a lot.
Well, he's going to make a lot of money because they're not going to cut him.
No, but and nobody's going to pick him up. It's too much. Trade bait is nothing there for them, for anybody else picking the kid up. I don't know another team that needs a quarterback that bad for that amount of money.
So what you're saying is that Hugh is going with the guy that's going to keep his job. That he feel that's going to keep his
right.
job. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I mean, the kid is playing lights out to be doing that. I mean, to beat out a guy that's just, I mean, he's making buku money, man. That's deep. That goes deeper than just football. That's business, too. That's a lot. Hold on, we got another caller coming in. Let's see who we got.
Okay.
Go ahead, keep talking. I think we got Coach Boyd on. Coach Boyd, you here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Oh, yeah. It's me and Billy on tonight.
We'll be on a little bit later.
We were discussing we were on the NFL for a second, talking about Kizer actually being a starter for Cleveland and what that meant for Cleveland, which the backup quarterback is going to make an enormous amount of money, and they can't get rid of him. That speaks volumes for what Kizer's doing. Speaks volumes.
You know, it was several quote-unquote good QB gurus that said Kizer had numbers that were very, very similar to Jameis's when he was at Florida State, and that Kizer's numbers were better than several quarterbacks or the three that went ahead of him, three or four quarterbacks that went ahead of him. I heard that a couple times, actually. So it's not really a surprise. I think that sometimes GMs get caught up in the hype. Like, they got caught up in the hype with Trubisky, and they got caught up in the hype with Mahomes because Mahomes couldn't apparently throw a ball at 80 yards. Watson, I think he needs more development. And so I think the guys that went ahead of him are not better for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Let me ask you this, Coach. Let me ask you this. Present his numbers and Trubisky at North Carolina.
Well, the biggest difference is Trubisky only had about, 11 starts or 13 starts, whatever it was, he didn't have none of the experience that Kizer had. That's the first thing.
I'm glad you said that because Kizer only took him to the national championship and then got benched.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, Kizer took the team.
So what you're saying?
Yeah, so I don't really know. It's some questionable things going in there. I don't want to assume. But it definitely is some questionable type of decision making there.
This barbershop talk. I want you to assume. I want you to go there.
I'll say this. It looked like somebody put the bad mouth on Kizer, what it looked like, and it cost him money. Be careful who your head coach is and who you play for and how he treats you. That would be my guess.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you can get blackballed.
And can we go on, hey, I want you to go ahead a step further and say, Can this coach evaluate a quarterback really? I mean, he can't start after taking you to a national championship. He can't start. He loses his job, but he gets drafted, and he starts on an NFL team. Now, B said that it's the Cleveland Browns, but I'm saying he earned the job, you know, competing against other teams.
Exactly. Exactly. So I feel like he earned the job competing against other pros. So there's other quarterbacks in camp. And see, we don't see everything that the coaching staff sees, of course. But I know for a fact that Cleveland has better coaching now than what they've had at previous times, and they have a little more talent than what they've had in previous years. Now, I ain't saying Cleveland's going to win, but I think that Cleveland
has better talent. I'm not saying that either. But would you say that you being head of a office and you done had all these different quarterbacks that done played for you, and you know it's your last draw, you gonna go with this rookie over everybody else? That seems to tell me that I'm gonna go with the person that gives me the best chance to keep my job.
Of course, and see, and all these other quarterbacks have already failed elsewhere. It's not like they haven't already failed somewhere.
That's what I'm
saying. So that's the problem I got with football now. So other quarterbacks have already failed, but you're still giving them all this money. So I don't. It looks questionable. I put it that way at best.
That's what I'm talking about, Coach Boy. Say it the way it is.
So you're saying there's a story behind the story, is what you're saying?
It's got to be.
Exactly.
Kaiser's numbers were outstanding. And what happened was Notre Dame didn't win. All right? Now, Notre Dame did not win, so apparently they put it on Kaiser. Apparently it's not. And we'll see what the kid who's transferring down to Florida also said with Kaiser. We'll see if the other quarterback is transferring from Notre Dame. Malik Zaire, I think is who it is, that transferred.
If he plays.
Yeah, if he plays. But I think he'll play.
Right.
I think he'll play. It's just real difficult to come to a team in the middle of the summer and know the playbook. That's real difficult. So I'm sure it's not a talent issue. He probably don't know the playbook at all. He probably got 10, 15 plays.
I tried
he knows
to tell Bonzo, that kid is not going to start this year. I mean, he'll play.
But will he play?
I don't think he'll take the bull.
We'll see. It depends on if the team is losing or how they look. Because he got to beat out Felipe Franks, who has a great arm. I don't know what he's looking like in practice, but Felipe Franks was a pretty good quarterback coming out of high school from Wakulla. So we'll see if he's any good. But they said that Del Rio is going to be the starter for Florida, which I found kind of shocking, but we'll see how that works out.
Right. That was my point. All right, let's slip into the mess of the week, which would be Raekwon Davis shooting himself or getting shot. I shouldn't say shooting himself. That's what normal players do, but getting shot after what was late night. It wasn't in the club like first said. I know Billy's got a lot on this one, but he got shot at a gas station. Right now he's listed as day-to-day. It's going to be a medical decision by Saturday by game time. And he is the starting defensive lineman for the Alabama, whatever they call themselves. What do you got on that, Billy?
Man, look at here. I got shot in the face and went out and played
That's
baseball.
That's what it was?
I went out and played baseball the next day and went 3-for-4. Okay? So.
You got shot in the face?
Yeah.
So, wait a minute.
You know what I mean? It's a difference in being shot and being grave, okay? Let's get it straight, okay? So
wow,
let's look at this.
I got a lot of
fully
expect
that
that's gonna be off the show.
Point,
guys.
Let's
I
look
fully
at
expect
more
them to play.
Now, honestly, you guys know what stable means. Stable means that they've stopped the bleeding, that they've located the area of injury. It doesn't necessarily mean he's out of the water. You follow me? So, if I got shot, the last thing I want to do is have a team know it and hit me in that area. Now, I want to wish his kid well.
Ball.
But if I got shot and
Coach
the other
Ball.
Team knew it, I would not want that.
Coach Ball.
Okay.
Coach
Ball. What's up, Billy? What's up? What's going on?
It's a difference in being shot and being grazed in the leg.
Well, he just grazed.
Right.
If you shot in the leg, in the thigh, you're not playing because anything can hamper that from bleeding again, right?
Yeah. From
okay.
Here.
Exactly. So, like I said,
It's a difference in being shot and being grazed in the leg.
I got
Let's
you.
Not be,
so which one is it?
Let's not be goddamn Rambo. Let's not be Rambo.
But it said he was shot. Now, so was he grazed?
They call it shot because it came from a gun.
Gotcha.
Okay.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying.
So was he grazed or was he shot?
Isn't grazed getting shot, though? Isn't grazed getting shot?
Yeah, it is.
Like, but I'm just saying, like, so, like, he has some kind of injury from a bullet there, basically.
Yeah,
in a leg.
And
he's going to play defensive line. Well, defensive line, offensive line, that's the dirtiest part of the whole game.
It is.
They be
grabbing on you.
All kind of that. Yeah. And you get them out of pile. They're
grabbing on you.
They're going to hit them in the, they're trying to give you all kind of injuries. That's a rough area down there. So my prayers go out to the kid because that's not how you want to see a young man be, you know, be stopped. You know, you'd rather him be out there playing and your team out playing. I don't want to see that happen to any of these kids. That's shameful, you know, and unnecessary.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
What's the word? Is he going to play?
He's day to day right now with
it's
medical.
Dude, you know, but I believe he'll play.
All right. No, and I just asked the question.
Do they need him that bad?
Dude, you remember we had a show, we had another show, and y'all told me who was my player to look out for. I told you that was him. He's a freak, dude.
Mm-hmm. He's a good player. I'll say this. The issue being game plan, kind of like when they fired Lane Kiffin the week before the game. Your game plan is surrounded around players' abilities. So if you got a player that you've been playing, that you've been game planning with, and that player is now out, it does change the scheme of your plan. Now I don't know if he'll play. I don't know the extent because you know they got all kind of great drugs to where he probably can be in no pain before the game. So we know that for
dude,
a
fact.
I'm a
certain extent.
He
I agree
is,
with that, but
he is a—he's a stud, man. He, you know,
yeah,
they held
he's,
him back.
He's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually next to this kid yesterday who plays at Alabama, so I noticed it because his car is all over social media, and that's De'Ron Payne. He was just sitting at the light. I'm just looking at the kid like, "Yep, that's him." Because I don't even know if the car was tinted because there was so much of him in the car. So it's a lot of dude in that car. It's just one guy. But but I saw him, and you know, those guys are always. I mean, De'Ron Payne actually is from the Irondale area, which is where I'm traveling all the time. I mean, I've seen the car a number of times, but those guys are always out. I mean, and I think people look to do stuff to them or see if they can make the news or you know, those guys are targets. And that's very dangerous, man. You really can't restrict the guys and say you can't go home. You
that's
can't
on
do this.
Though. I mean, they know that. They
right,
know that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's be
so,
real about
those
it.
Kids
now,
are in danger,
first
man.
Off, I say this, guys. I don't think that Raekwon Davis was on the starting line. Was he a starter?
Yeah, he started.
Yeah, he started.
Well, I thought he backed up Payne, who you just talked about. Willis.
He backed up
Payne.
He backed up Allen.
That's on the other side.
Gotcha. All right.
Yep.
Because I thought he was second team.
They were trying to redshirt him last year.
Okay.
Well, since we're talking about this kid, let's
nose guard and Raekwon Davis for second string nose guard.
Yeah.
Come again?
I was just reading.
Okay, cool.
Starter.
The little small one.
Okay, but here we go. We're going to go ahead and move on into the actual game. We're going to talk about the Alabama FSU game. And the good thing about this show, guys, is that we have an Alabama guy on. We have a Florida State guy. And I think both of them are fans, but at the same time, I think they're students of the game. So this would be a good perspective on how this game is really going to turn out. And me, I hate both teams. So it's always good to have my perspective coming in, jabbing them from left to right. So right now, Billy, who do you have winning the game? Because I know even though you're an Alabama fan, you're one of the most honest Alabama fans I've ever met. So who do you think wins this game and why?
I think it's a blowout. And, hey, guys, I'm about to walk in here, and, you know, I'm something like a big deal, so it might get loud, so, you know. But
Okay.
Thank you. I think it's gonna be a blowout, and the reason I say that is because when you start wearing down the offensive line of Florida State, they had some problems in their spring game against their defense, and our defense is something like this. I'm not saying it's better, but I'm gonna say it's probably, if not the same, probably second tier to it. And they had problems where their defensive lineman was tagging their quarterback a lot, just putting their hands on him. And that's not going to be the case Saturday. I think they're going to have some problems. They got some injuries up front, and they got some injuries to the backup on that offensive line. So I'm just going to say our defensive front, it's going to be the difference in the game.
So when you say blowout, you're saying Alabama and blowout?
Yeah, 17 points.
Is that what I'm getting out of it? 17 points.
That's what.
Wow.
17 points.
Okay. Boy, what you got?
Well, we'll see. Like I said,
let's not say that. No.
First time.
No, this is game week, man. I need your direct talk. I'm gonna get one like Billy did. You'll get one.
I'll give you my point. I'm saying we'll see. I feel like, for one, yes, they have injuries to the offensive line, but those were guys that probably were not going to play. That's the thing that they're not telling people. Like, they got a revamp line. So we have to look at if Francois gets the ball out early enough. The difference in this year's team and last year's team is last year's team had two wide receivers that were 5'7". This year, Florida State team has three wide receivers above 6'3", and they're all going to play. So now you're not throwing the ball to midgets. You got a deep threat, and you got to honor that. And so whether or not we believe that line is good or not, you got to understand that line's come a long way from where it was. So we'll see. Now, from a defensive standpoint, I want to see how well Bama moves the ball. I don't think you don't throw the ball well against Florida State. I don't see Hurts throwing the ball real great, if you want the truth about it. And Bama fans better pray if they don't come out and try to run a pro-style offense.
Notice I didn't say anything about our offense because I know you got to play. If y'all come out and run a pro-style offense. However, my defense scored more than any college in the nation last year, and we're bringing back all the cornerbacks and replacing linebackers that can cover.
So let's see. Who's gone from that deep? Marlon Humphrey's gone from last year.
Yep.
Do what now?
Mm-hmm. I said
Marlon Humphrey's gone. Eddie Jackson's gone.
Hey, Jackson's gone.
If you want to go back and look at games, Humphrey was the weak link last year. Can I get an amen?
I agree. Bonzo would be going crazy right now.
I think only reason Humphrey was on the team is because his dad and Tony Brown stayed in the doghouse. That's the only reason.
I'm gonna say this straight up to y'all. I don't think Tony Brown can cover anybody. And I think he's a safety playing cornerback. I'm gonna say it like it is. Deshaun Watson threw for how many yards on Bama last year? Let's do that. 425 yards they threw for it on Alabama. And this is the great secondary of Alabama with a much better team. I'm telling you that.
I didn't know Deshaun Watson transferred to Florida State.
I'm saying Deshaun Watson does not have a great arm, but he has a really good arm.
I did not know that Deshaun Watson transferred to Florida State.
I think my point was this. Deshaun Watson did not throw for 425 yards against Florida State. I think that's my point. Not even close.
Hey, look.
But I'm saying that Bama got the most overrated secondary in the whole college football.
Hey, look. Coach Boyd, if you want to go there, Ezekiel Elliott ran for a damn near 270-something yards on Alabama. And they ain't give up a 60, 70-something yards that year.
But Ezekiel Elliott don't play for damn Florida State Saturday.
I'm saying that from a standpoint of just receivers and secondary coverage.
I'm saying you have to be an elite athlete. An elite. I'm talking about alpha dog of alpha dogs to do something. That's what I'm saying. Nick Marshall threw over 400 yards. Those are outliers. Those are outliers. You better hope you have an outlier.
Right. Let's say that that's true. Your outlier did not throw for 425 yards against Florida State secondary last year. Not even close. All right.
I don't need it.
Yeah,
they beat you, though.
So.
They beat you. He didn't have to. He beat you.
They won the game.
Now.
It's questionable. It's questionable. Same as he beat y'all, but y'all secondary is supposed to be so great. And what I'm saying
is, they beat us.
They beat us.
It ain't no supposed to. They beat us. Even if it came down to the last play, they beat us. Hey, look, I'm not that one. I'm not the one that's going to talk about if they'd have did this. I can say they could have kept running the ball even after Bo Scarborough got hurt to keep the offense off the field. They were moving the ball. But I'm not that person. That's just dumb coaching. I can't fault the kids for that.
I don't know if that was coaching. I think Bama started throwing the ball because they started playing 8 men in the box. 8 men in the box, gotta throw the ball. Now, that's where you look at.
They were still running the ball on.
And Clemson's defense was not great by any means last year. Let's be frank about that.
Not at all.
I mean, they were slow. Their linebackers were really slow. I was like, damn. They had two of the slowest linebackers I've ever seen Clemson have. That Ben Bolware, man, he couldn't catch me or you.
And then the quarterback kept keeping the ball. He kept keeping the ball instead of handing it off.
Yeah.
Hey, you ain't got to explain.
Boy.
You got to explain to me. You don't have to explain to me. I'm just saying, Billy, those are outliers.
I know. I see that y'all avoided the question. The question was, and this is directed to us, Coach Boyd, who do you have to win the game?
I already said.
I'm taking the Noles to win this game. They got something to play for. I expect them to play like it. I think it's the most talented team that Jimbo Fisher has had.
Week is something to play for.
Mm-mm. It ain't like playing. Honestly, when you play for Bama or when you play against them, it's a whole different ballgame that you're trying to tackle.
So you're trying to tackle
a mythical ghost now. It's different.
So what you do when you
there are some
when,
games
when
you
are Bama then?
When you are Bama, all you play in is national TV games. Even when it's nobody that you play against.
But what is it to play for? So in your sense, what is it to play for?
Y'all got to play now because y'all lost the last game. So we know Bama's going to be fired up. Imagine back-to-back losses to the ACC. So you know that Bama's ready to play. They got something to prove.
That's a valid point. You slipped up on that one. That was a good point, though.
So normally Bama would be like, okay, we Alabama, we come out. The other team, they don't really want to play.
I disagree. I don't think it's nothing to play for because it ain't Clemson.
Come on, man.
We gotta move on from Clemson now.
Let's move on from Clemson from the standpoint of easily Bama could have lost or won both of them games. All right. Y'all could have lost or won both of those back to back national championship games. Both of them was a war. And if we say that Deshaun Watson was an X factor, then the changes wasn't made the following season to stop him because y'all saw what he did the previous season. He came back and did the same thing the next season.
They didn't. You have pro cornerbacks that's in the league right now from Alabama that stated that Nick Saban was out-coached because he – I think I sent you the interview.
And he said he was out-coached
because you got to make a – they had already did it twice to you. And then you got right – turned that a third time, and they did not make a change to tell the cornerback, hey, watch this pick. And they did the same exact thing.
They had never
practiced that play at the end of the game. They were not prepared for that, is what they said.
Clearly. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it, because the man was wide open. All I'm saying is, all
right,
if you have the best team, and if you quote-unquote mm-hmm. number one in the country, and been number one in the country every year, then let's be frank about the fact that coming off a national championship loss, you got to be real hungry. Your team got to be really desiring to do something, because you know everybody's gunning for you. You're going to see flea-flea. You're going to see right. all kind of crap you ain't never seen when you play teams. Because everybody's gunning for you.
Well,
you're quote-unquote the
let me
dog.
Say this before.
Like I said, Bama's so good
y'all go,
and they can lose
y'all
the game
run this
and
within
still
the
play
ground.
The championship.
Hold on.
The thing
on,
about this game,
this.
Guys. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
G, let me say this before you. Hey, mm-hmm. Coach Boyd.
Yeah.
I sent G and Bonzo a link today. It mm-hmm. had 55 players in the NFL right now played from Alabama. 52 of them had national championship rings. The other three, they was there before Saban. Right now in the NFL.
What's that really saying?
What's your point? Yeah, what is your point?
Yeah, what's the point? Help me on that. Help me understand your point.
You saying,
because
you
the point
saying
you
that
made...
the point I'm making is you said that after you win a national championship and you come back, what is there to be hungry
mm-hmm.
for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
saying after you lose a national championship, there's something to be hungry for.
All right. For. There's nothing to be hungry for?
No, that's not what
I think you misunderstood me. I said after you lose a national championship, there's something to be hungry for. Once you lose one, now you're hungry. Now, and I think what I'm also saying is this. What that really says is that there's one good team in that conference. It's what 55 players in the professional ranks says. All right.
It might be saying
there's
one good team in the country.
I mean, it could,
right?
It could
I agree
very
with
well
that.
Be saying that. It could very well be
I
saying that
I agree with
too.
That completely.
You know, because that's a fair assessment from a talent standpoint.
Right. There's only one dominant team in the nation, and that is Alabama.
Yeah, and you know what?
Overall,
they've been dominant,
I mean,
not just off their play, but off their coaching. They've been dominant off their personnel. They've also been trendsetting in terms of their coaching staff. Which I think is huge.
Right. Well, let me get the overall scope of this game, guys. This is what a lot of skeptics are talking about and analysts and this, that, and the other. Overall, after this game is over, who the loser, what, I mean, do you really lose? The winner, I mean, the winner, of course, you gain. You're still undefeated. But the loser, it has no conference losses. Matter of fact, if you still win out, you still may, more than likely will be in the national championship playoff. And definitely for the SEC, if they win out. So again, if they lose these games, guys, they really don't lose that much. Let's just be completely honest.
They should.
And that's the crazy part about this game. And that's kind of it always works out that way for Alabama. I don't know how so, but it always works out that way. Now I've been watching a little bit of what the national outlook is on this game. I've listened to a lot of different commentators and analysts, and they almost set it up for Florida State to win. That's the way it's looking for me right now. I think Alabama has all the personnel to kill anybody that they want to kill. But the way they're portraying this game, I don't know, man. This is going to be one to watch. But I'm being
yeah,
on,
you
I'm,
say,
I'm
you say that,
my conspiracy theory. I'm a conspiracy theory right now. I'm feeling that. I'm thinking that it's
it
something bigger. I think
it?
they have writers for this game, I'm thinking. Whoever needs it more from a national scope, I think, will win this game. I think it has nothing to do with play. I think it's going to be – it's some money in Vegas on this game. I'll put it that way. Somebody get
well,
ready.
You say it's always that way for Bama, but you got to remember, you got to win to even make it even an argument. And if I saw something today – I saw something today that stated that you could possibly see your first two loss Final Four teams.
Yep, I saw that too.
Yeah, because you can lose one game in conference and still win your conference now. So you can lose that game and a game in
yep.
conference and still play for a title.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know,
let's move on.
That conspiracy stuff, you know, talking about it always that way for this team. But that team got to win. They got to win this schedule.
I get that. I'm big on being a realist and all that, but I've seen some pretty weird things over the past couple of years, especially in the NBA. But when it's not an NBA show, but mm-hmm. I mean that is completely written, if you ask me. But
I saw it in Bama the year that we lost and dropped all the way to number 6, and everybody ahead of us had to lose, and everybody ahead of us lost.
And everybody lost, yeah.
Everybody lost. I mean, but I couldn't make Oregon lose. I couldn't make Baylor lose.
Here's the question. Do we really believe that a $1 billion sport and billions of dollars is left to chance? That's my only question. Do we really believe that they're putting billions of dollars on 18-year-old to 20-year-old brains and leaving it to chance? That's my question.
I think it's easier
in other
to
words,
buy them out than it is anybody else.
That's my point of view. I think that it's an easier buyout because these kids are coming from nothing.
Yep.
So when I see a young man going wrong, you know, 15 yards over a man's head.
I definitely believe there can be point shaving and stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's no way. No way in hell. Hey, let me tell you something, Coach Boyd. And I call it. Well, I ain't gonna call his name out. But there's no way in hell we can catch a bomb on a team that we need to go up on, and he fall at the 3-yard line, and then
the man catch the ball. Yeah.
No, he called him.
I'm going to put it to you like this.
And then the left tackle jumped off sides 4 times in a row. Don't stop me. Jump off the sides and our first round left tackle jump off sides 4 times in a row to take people out of field goal range. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Can I say something to you, Billy, before you get out of hand?
Go ahead, Bonzo.
I want you to go back and think about some of these big-time games. Let's go back to Auburn National Championship. I know this is going to bite Coach Boyd a little bit in the butt. They were dominating Florida State the first half. Came out and just – what did they – I mean, they just – they completely went left. They didn't do anything they did
mm-hmm.
to get to that point. They didn't do anything they had done in
mm-hmm.
the first half. And they were a completely different team. And Florida State got back in it. Not only got back in it and won football game. Let's not even talk about the NFL last year with the Falcons and the Patriots. I mean, now that within itself. I'm going to go ahead and say this. And let me make America mad on that one. On this one. Trump had his name all over that game. That was a Trump game.
How about this?
Atlanta.
I think you want even easier. I need one even easier, Willis. How did the Falcons get to the Super Bowl the same year that they opened up this elaborate stadium that draws attention to the team? That's a lot of bread, dog. That's a lot of money coming in, and they draw a lot of attention to this one stadium. One stadium. And so now we all talking about this new stadium. And the Falcons have never been any good. Now all of a sudden they in the Super Bowl. It's questionable all the way leading up to that.
You hurt my feelings. You just hurt my feelings, but I see what you're saying. I get you. I got your point. All right.
They didn't need to do that,
Coach.
Talk.
Let's go.
Well, it's a money thing.
Like,
it draws attention.
We were going to draw attention to it.
Boy.
It depends. But see, Falcons fans, but they need more than one game. They need Falcons fans to fill the seats of that stadium every week. And if that team is no good, the people are not coming out.
I agree. All right.
So now the fans
SEC talk. Let's go.
Fans got to come out for the drama now.
Auburn's not really playing anybody this
Falcons
week. but I will say this. I talked to a couple of guys down on the plains this past week about some of the events that's going on at Auburn. And their big thing was Jarrett Stidham.
Mm-hmm.
Had to sit down with Coach Chip Lindsey and Chip Lindsey said there is nobody at that position that has more talent than that guy. But you know what he said in the same breath? And me and Billy talked about this last week. He said that Sean White is playing lights out. He's gained 20 pounds, which I did not know, and he's playing lights out. He said, do not be surprised 4 games down the line that he started. Now, let me tell you where the problem is when I, from my perspective. Sean White cannot throw consistently over 20 yards. He cannot extend the field with the long ball. And if they have to replace Jared Stidham, that means they have lost the game, which means Gus Malzahn will be gone. So there's a lot of stuff going on with that scenario I don't get. So I can't wait to see how this plays out with this Auburn team. Auburn has more upside than just about anybody right now because they're ranked 12, which is perfect for what they do. They can do anything from that position. Their schedule actually allows them to make it happen this year. They have the talent. Like I've been saying over the past couple of weeks, Pat Dye said himself that this is the most talented Auburn team he's seen. I don't know how much inside you guys have on this Auburn team, but, I mean, I can't wait to see them play. I think they've been sandbagging. They've not been allowing people to see what they really can do under Chip Lindsey's tutelage with this new offense. I don't know how much has changed. I don't know how much, you know, you have an awesome running game when it comes to their fullback slash running back. Now they have the best, I think, one of the better receiving corps in the SEC. Can't wait to see what's going to happen. I mean, the defense is, I mean, I think this is the best defense they've had probably since, what, 04. Anybody got any take on that?
Here's the thing we still got to remember, and I always tell you this. I'm always leery of first-year starters. First-year starters are always an issue because you don't know how they're going to react under that pressure. And it's going to be a lot of pressure. A lot of good athletes in the SEC, regardless if you like the conference or not. A lot of good athletes, a lot of good players in that conference. So now you're going to have to deal with a lot of adversity. So depending on how your quarterback responds to adversity, that's going to determine your team. And it also depends on if Malzahn is going to – If Malzahn is going to let him have mistakes, because Malzahn has a problem with snatching people when they make mistakes, and it takes their confidence. I think that's what happened to Jeremy Johnson to some degree. I think he made some mistakes, and coach got on him and couldn't handle it.
Freak.
He didn't come from that. He's a real good young man. He's probably a good, humble young man who didn't come from men screaming and mad and benching them and all that. So he wasn't accustomed to that. And I can see it in his face. And so, he got down on himself, and he went from being a really good high school quarterback to now we don't know what you got there. He can't even start off a first-year guy, over a first-year guy. And you don't even hear about this kid. And he was a good football player. He probably still is if you can get his confidence back. Now, as far as Sean White goes, I think he's a little short in terms of y'all got a huge offensive line. Auburn has a really – and I told you this last year, Auburn's offensive line going to be the strength this year. I told you this before the season. The Auburn offensive line is really good, and I expect at least you will get a 1,000-yard rusher if you run the football. You're going to get a 1,000-yard rusher this year, especially Kerryon Johnson. You got a strong enough team, but if your quarterback plays or not is the only question.
We had one last year. We almost had two last year.
Well, that team, I don't think last year's team was as strong, and especially not in the receiver position. You had some good linemen. But I saw a game where y'all played three quarterbacks. There's no way you can win and play three quarterbacks.
I saw seven. I saw seven quarterbacks playing that game. Seven.
So you got to look at it like, can – the question with Auburn is simply, can the first-year quarterback win you the big game? Can he play well? All right? So we'll see pretty early on what Auburn's got.
Okay. Anything, Billy?
Well, we'll know.
Yeah. Like I said, week two will tell on that. Mm-hmm. You know,
we'll see where,
facing Clemson defensive line, when he faced adversity, mm-hmm. we'll see who he really is as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be able to sit back there and throw to a spot and watch the receiver run to it. like he was used to at Baylor. So that's going to tell me who he is.
Never had
and
to
they
know
get
who
hit
he
a couple
is,
times. Everybody have a plan until they get hit. So I want to see him get hit a couple
and,
times.
And,
see what
and they know who he is, but their defense can't hit
Did
him
get that
at board? Practice.
Huh?
He's never had to read a defense. I was told that.
How you going to beat Velma? Like that. Man, they run. Cause man,
that's the scary part.
Yeah, man, those zone blitzing schemes in the SEC are very unique. I saw several. LSU has some good ones. Oh man, all those exotic blitzes and you can't read the defense, or you haven't. He better be real fast.
Yeah, he's fast enough. He's fast enough. He's a dual threat.
If he's fast, it's Nick Marshall.
Oh, no, sir.
If he ain't Nick Marshall fast, he can't win at Auburn.
With decisions.
Yeah.
With decisions, because some teams want you to run so they can take your head off.
But keep this in mind. The offense is set up different than the offense that Nick Marshall ran. It's a different offensive coordinator, same head coach. Different offensive coordinator. So they're definitely going to incorporate some of what Chip Lindsey has in store. And hopefully he has enough sense to cater to the talent he has on the field versus running his offense, which is what Gus Malzahn has done for years and has failed miserably at that concept. So let's hope that he gives Chip Lindsey full control of the offense and lets him do what he's good at doing, which is putting the players on the field that can play the game as well as utilizing their talents and their skills.
Coach Boyd. Coach Boyd.
Yeah. What's going on, Billy?
Have you seen the rankings of the recruits?
Mm-hmm.
You notice Alabama is not even in the top seven.
That'll change.
After this year, toward the middle of the season, when they start talking about the firing of all these coaches, this happens every year. Those kids that they recruit, those five-star talents that they commit to them, different teams, they always switch over later. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because the coach is not going to be there the next year.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. And
I've
they got an early signing day for that
on
reason.
The hotline.
You say
I,
what?
I say hotline. I'm sorry. How many of those teams that are leading and recruiting right now have coaches in the hot
Auburn,
seat?
Auburn, Kevin Sumlin.
Auburn's not in the top 10 right now.
Tennessee.
Yep. Tennessee
it doesn't matter. You don't have to be in the top. All we need is one, like Asa Martin, somebody like that.
I don't think it really matters who Tennessee recruits. They can't get those guys to play football.
Oh, no. No, I know it's not.
Half
if he gets fired.
They had 20.
But when he gets
they
fired.
They had 18 to 20 guys transferred last year, Billy.
Yeah,
18 to
20. Yeah, I told you.
I mean, Bama was gray shirting 4 stars. That's going to make it hard to recruit. That's really going to make it hard to recruit.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. When Butch Jones, or whatever his name, Davis, whatever his name, at Tennessee.
You said it right. Butch Jones, you said it right.
When he become an analyst at Alabama next year, recruiting analyst at that, all the players that he got committed right now would be at Alabama.
All right, let's look at the top 10 current teams. I think Ohio State's number one.
Yep, they
Texas
are.
Is number two. Texas always got a bunch of talent. Penn State, Miami, Oregon, Tennessee is number six. So that's what we can watch for the shakeout there. If Florida has a bad season, Florida's number seven, and this is based on 24/7 composites. So let's look at Notre Dame is number eight. Notre Dame's number eight, Oklahoma's number nine, FSU is 10. Texas A&M is 11, LSU is 12. So there could very well be some shakeout in the top 15, maybe not the top 10, but that top 15 could definitely shake out, and it's going to be
three going to shake out. I mean, well, the top five going to shake out. It's always like that to the end. I promise you.
It'll be some shakeout over the next couple
of months.
Florida State
is going to be in the top five. Florida State is going to be in the top.
You know what,
five.
Guys?
Alabama is going
to
be.
What happened to the day that the coach developed talent and you didn't worry about recruits you had?
They do.
I mean, you don't have time. You know, the issue is you don't really have time to develop players anymore. They got to come already developed because they got to play freshman year.
Coach Bard.
You always got to play
about
10 freshmen. Yeah.
Coach Bard, you missed the question. He meant to ask himself that question. What happened at Auburn? What happened at Auburn when the coach
developing their players?
When they don't have to go get them from another program to lead their program.
I agree.
You know,
they have it. Hey, Coach Boyd, let me drop a news on you.
Come on,
Auburn hadn't had a quarterback that was recruited by them since Jason Campbell to have a winning season. Everybody else has came from another program.
Mm. Sean White won. He had a winning season last year.
Okay, if you call that quarterbacking with nine other ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just giving you a stat. I mean, I'm playing Bonzo tonight. That's the stat. The guy was recruited by Auburn, and he had a winning per se a winning season because he won.
He was best in the conference because he threw the ball seven times a game and completed all seven of them. Yeah, I know the stats Bonzo looking at.
Well, they were all
I'll say this. I don't know what happened to player development at Auburn because Auburn still has great strength and conditioning. I don't know what happened to the player development because I watched Carl Lawson play last night. And he played really well, and I'm like, he stayed injured at Auburn, and like he just never quite became that top tier player he should have.
But coach, you talking defense now though? The defense
players
always they got D Ford in Kansas City. You got a whole bunch of players that.
Hey, Josh Holtz did pretty good last night.
The ball out on defense.
Yeah, we got a couple players on defense playing in the league.
Look
a couple on offense as well. I mean, we all have players, but the thing is,
yeah, offensive
linemen. Just talking about
offensive linemen.
I was thinking about what Oklahoma has traditionally done, and I was watching the movie little 30 on 30 about Marcus Dupree, and Oklahoma's traditionally never been in the top 10, but back then stayed number one in recruiting. I'm sure. Again, let me say that one more time. They never came in the top 10 in recruiting, but they were always around number one at the end of the season when it came to their ranking, and because they were developing their players. And that was my point, not just talking about Auburn, but that was a good point that you made because they definitely cannot develop any type of quarterback or some offensive players as well. I think defense, they do develop some of the players. But offense, and I think that all is a reflection again on Gus Malzahn, that he is an idiot as head coach, because his big thing
is your
point
there.
And if you can't run, his system, we have one.
So you said a lot then when you said with Oklahoma, because back then their scheme, their offensive scheme was new to defenses. That's why they ended up. And couldn't nobody stop that wishbone and all that.
And they sent a lot of kids to the league as well. I mean, they were developing players.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't just winning or the percentage winning. They were developing these players and making them good football players. That is my question. What happened to that concept of developing players and actually putting some time into these guys, not just making them good football players, making them good people as well. And I think
basically,
that's a lost art. I mean, and it,
the red shirt freshman idea is what developed players. Most of your top tier players no longer red shirt. So like either they're good or bad by their sophomore year. Most of the time they don't get off the depth chart, especially at a top school where you got the top recruit from that position coming in the following year. You got 2 years max, or you're gonna be transferring. So now you don't have 4 years. Well, it's very rare you see a 4 year player that's good. Rare. It's
like
not never, but it's rare. You see a guy. It's a lot more rare.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 years. So you got 2 years max, and 3 years if the player's good. If not, transfer. That's why you got all of FSU transfers everywhere.
All right. Well, I got attention. Hey, Coach Boyd is a Florida boy, not just a Florida State fan. He is from the state of Florida.
Yeah, I'm a Florida guy.
So sticking with that theme, how bad does Florida beat Michigan?
I'm not. I gotta see the Gators quarterback. If the Gators don't get a quarterback, they ain't beating nobody. I'm sorry.
I think they're gonna beat the brakes off of them.
Off of Michigan?
Just like McElwain said, he was gonna beat the shit out of Michigan, and you ain't heard nothing from Nick Harbaugh. Harbaugh and that. He gonna beat the shit out of them. And Coach don't talk noise, and he don't talk noise.
Yeah, we'll see, man.
Coach, where you from? What part of Florida are you from?
I grew up in Tallahassee.
Okay. I lived in Jacksonville for 7 years.
That's like, small world, not far away. I grew up around the corner from Bobby Bowden. So Bobby Bowden's house was like walking distance to my home. That's how I got to be an FSU man.
Okay.
And then my father, of course, went to Florida State, got one of his degrees there. But we would see Coach outside all the time and talk to him and whatever. I didn't realize he was famous, to be honest with you all. He didn't have like a gate. He didn't have anything. You just walked right up to his door, and you could knock, and he would answer. Or his wife, Ann, would answer. It wasn't like – so to me, that's how I got to be an FSU fan.
They're old school, though.
Yeah, so that's how the old school coaches were. And Bobby still liked
them. Yep, you're right.
So that's how
it's
I got to be
from
an
Birmingham,
FSU guy.
Man.
This is long for everything else. But
it's
I mean, now you can't walk up to Jimbo's house now.
Hey, Coach.
Walk up there now.
I lived in Jacksonville when doggone Florida State, and Miami was all 1, 2, and 3 every year.
It was a good time.
Every year. I'm talking about like 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, when Alabama broke that up, though, you know, played Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the time when Florida State was asking Miami, was it Florida State, Miami, saying, how can you be the national champions when you're not even the state champions? You remember that?
Yeah.
Wow. Yep, I remember that.
I agree. It used to be, to win a national championship, you had to be the champion of Florida. Like, you had to play either Miami, Florida, or Florida State to get that national championship.
And then whoever
they
were going to play Oklahoma
or Nebraska.
Or Nebraska. You're right.
All throughout the 90s, and then Notre Dame in the late 80s. But see, what really happened there was teams kind of caught on. It's like Willis always says, teams figure out what you're doing.
Ain't what happened. They're recruiting. They started. Everybody else started recruiting Miami. I mean, in Florida.
Teams figured out what they were doing. That's what I said.
Yep.
They figured out.
That's
we need this style of player.
You're right.
We need South Florida kids. These kids are faster. They're stronger. They're bigger. They're hungrier.
Yep.
They come from a rough environment.
Here.
These kids.
Strong had 22 players from the state of Florida on his roster the year at Louisville when he damn near went undefeated with Teddy Bridgewater and all them.
Very good.
And they was two and three star players. And he went on TV and said that a three star player in the state of Florida could be a five star player elsewhere.
Somewhere else. I agree. And nobody really argued that point.
No.
Nobody argued that because it made sense and because those players were so good coming out of there. So you could get the kids out of Miami because Miami is a tough place, or you could get them out of Central Florida. But the biggest deal was get those players out of there and get them to, like, Ohio State, who recruits Florida really great. Oregon tends to recruit. Tennessee recruits Florida great. Notre Dame recruits really good in Florida. And Bama recruits excellent in Miami. Bama always got at least four or five guys from South Florida.
Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy going to be the guy that shows out. That's the player that y'all got to look out for.
Man,
he's
a monster,
really
dude.
Good.
I've been watching him in practice, dude. He's a monster.
Oh, man, he's going to be great. And if you look at him and Calvin Ridley on the other side, that's going to be a formidable receiving core. I just want to see if Hurts can throw the ball to him. That's the question.
There you go.
If he can't, I know somebody that can.
Who? Give me your secondary idea. If Hurts can't get the ball there, who can get it there?
Tua.
He's talking about the Tua kid.
Oh, he can't read a defense yet. Like, now, I know he can't read defense. He's been on campus for what, 6 months? No.
How long was what you call him on there?
Who, Francois?
Who, Jalen?
No, Jalen.
He can't read defense. He can't read defense at all last year.
Okay.
You
talking
about Hurts? Oh, man.
Yeah,
he
could
have hurt.
Oh, okay.
He read half a
this
field
kid
all
here.
Year.
This kid here is faster.
Yeah, I hope so. I tell you this. I'm going to tell you how I know Jalen Hurts could not read a defense, and I can prove it. Calvin Ridley,
I know it. I know for a fact, too. I've seen people running wide open, and he just pump fake it and take off running to the right.
That's all he reads. He just reads half a field. And Calvin Ridley was a decoy last year. They got to fix that. That's why his numbers were terrible, because – they just ran him over to the other side, took the quarterback in safety, and tried to throw underneath him.
Yep.
That was crazy.
I've seen that plenty of times. I've seen him freaking down the middle, wide open. Everybody
wide
stand
open.
Up. And he won't even throw it. He just take off running to the side, and everybody like, what the hell?
Or he'll take off running
to
the middle.
I told him that.
So we'll see. I've said it all year. I'm so curious to know what Bama's going to run on offense. That's what I can't wait to see. I want to know, are they going to run pro style? Are they going to want to spread? I'm always curious to see what Bama's going to do on offense. I will admit, because if you bring a guy from the pros, he's bringing pro schemes. So if I'm looking for pro schemes from a spread quarterback, I want to know how disjointed or – if he caught on fast enough to understand the pro schemes.
And I'm talking about
the
pro
kid might know.
That every year, every week in the pros, this boy was doing something different with Brady. Every week. I'm like, good gracious.
I mean, but we talk about Tom Brady, though. So we're talking about a generational quarterback. You know, maybe
you're talking about a six-round quarterback that every offensive lineman in his pro day was faster than. That was made famous by Ray Perkins
I don't think that he can do what the coach at the Patriots does. For one, do you remember when his top offense coordinator left and went to the I want to say the Chiefs, or was it
talking about Ray Perkins?
He's back now with
he's talking about Charlie.
Not
White.
Ray
he's
Perkins.
Talking about Charlie Weiss.
Not Weiss. It's the younger kid. The young kid. He's back with the Patriots now. He was younger. I want to say he was maybe with the Broncos.
No, he's with the Dolphins now.
Or the Chiefs.
He's the head coach of the Dolphins now.
Not him. What was his name?
Three.
Left and didn't. Well, not Crowell. Not talking about him. It's the younger guy. He was the youngest out of those. And he
Adam
got a,
Gase. Adam Gase. Wasn't it Adam Gase?
Nope. Not talking about him either. He was the head coach, I want to say, either the Chiefs or the Broncos. And they got him out of there within 2 years. And he was the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. Not the ball.
But both
him.
Of those teams,
so
both of those teams you talked about had success, though.
Not while he was there, though.
Offensive.
Not while he was there.
Shit. Offensively.
But see, this is the thing. No. Not while he was there. They failed miserably.
Oh,
while he was there, they did not do well.
He's talking about Josh McDaniel.
There you go.
Yep. Got to think about that. It's Josh McDaniel he's talking about.
Yeah.
All right. So we all know that the Patriots have won. No matter who the offensive coordinator was, the Patriots have won. Now, that tells me that
that's
head
my
coach.
Point. That's a head coach.
No,
it's
they
just
they
like saying
some, they
that all the famous guys do great.
They had some fall-off
they don't.
Years.
I don't.
Have,
I'm
saying,
not buying into
pretty...
him coming through and making them look like the Patriots. I just don't see it. I don't see them doing
now,
anything close
either.
To that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
well,
not, I don't
just
think
wait
it's going
to happen. Let's just wait to Saturday.
I'm curious to see that because I want to see how he's going to call this game.
And you know,
really
they've been showing Patriots game face at practice. What is that about? I mean, what is that really about?
I'm going to tell you this. Everybody talked about Lane Kiffin, but Lane Kiffin can make you submit matches.
Oh yeah,
Jalen just didn't adapt to it, but Jalen just didn't adapt to it because doggone it, Blake Sims, man, they made Blake Sims the all-time passing leader single season. You feel what I'm saying?
I like Blake Sims, man.
Yeah,
I like
and I know he had Amari Cooper. I know
yeah,
he had Amari Cooper, but my goodness, he made that man all world. You could be throwing
what
up his hands before
Bama,
it was even over with.
What really makes Bama all world is their running game requires you to put eight men in the box, and then you got to play man-to-man on the outside. If you can't play man-to-man, you can't play against Alabama. You're going to get beat. You got to be able to cover man-to-man.
You're right. You're right.
You can't cover man, you're just done. That's why I think – that's the only reason why I think that FSU defense can stand up. They got players that can play man. Now, we'll see if they get to the quarterback or not, but they got a player that can play man on D. And I don't know –
I agree.
I need to see the Florida State offense has to move the football. Now,
you know
on the depth chart that came out today, by the way, Cam Akers was second string, by the way. So Cam Akers is number two back on today's depth chart.
Yeah, he's going to get
Florida State.
He gonna get some play.
Here's the thing,
and they game planning for him too.
It's not nobody. I don't think on this staff has questioned the talent level that Florida State has. What we're questioning, I know what I'm questioning, that we're questioning their heart. We saw them give up against Louisville, and we don't get it. Still don't get it. That heart is. I mean that's big. You cannot ever give up when it comes to a game like that.
I'm gonna tell you something else, G.
Up in a football game.
They gave up against y'all in the championship game. But the only thing, when y'all scored, y'all had to kick off. And the guy was returning them some guns. He the only one that gave up. But the offense gave up. Defense gave up.
Now, this is something between me and Coach Boyd, but I'm going to say it on air. I know for a fact that you question Jimbo Fisher. I know you don't completely believe in him.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, he don't.
So
Jimbo don't believe
in
him.
And I've said so that's my thing when it comes to Alabama and Florida State big deal is do you really believe in what they're doing? Other than their recruiting, we know they can recruit their ass off. But when it comes to them doing what he was hired to do, what they were recruited to do, is the question. We already know they don't have heart. That comes from the coach.
I don't think it's a heart issue. I think that those young boys are hungry. What I think sometimes is I think, and I say this openly, I think that at times I have watched Jimbo get out-coached. And it's frustrating for me because I see less teams defeat Florida State.
He may be on an even playing field now then.
Yeah. I've seen him get out-coached, and that's what concerns me.
The fruit don't fall far from the tree.
I'm telling you, because Jimbo does not believe in necessarily trick play. He does. He believes that we should line up and hit him in the mouth, and you cannot do that every time on fourth and one. If every time on fourth and one, if everybody in this stadium know the fullback don't get the ball, and every time you get a fullback the ball up the middle, halfback dive or fullback dive, well, that's not a – that's a scheme issue. That's a coaching issue. And I think that as fans, it frustrates us to no end. And that's
Coach
why
Boy,
we.
Let me ask you this: last year, y'all started French War. There was a kid. I don't know if he had graduated or not, but I thought the one that came in when Jameis Winston was suspended against Clemson the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in there and almost beat Clemson. You know who I'm talking about?
You're talking about Smag. You're talking about Sean McGuire?
Yeah, McGuire. Was he there last year?
No, he was gone.
Oh, okay.
I think Smag graduated the previous year. For some reason, I thought he was there,
and then he went on and played baseball his senior year because he didn't get the starting job.
No, I think Smag graduated. I'm saying I didn't think he moved on from the program. I think what I should say, man. I didn't say he graduated, but he moved on from the program.
Yeah,
so what,
because
what,
he didn't get the starting job. What I'm saying is,
was, thank you. We were very young. I think Florida State had a young team. And when you not and it did not play well against Louisville. That was the worst game I've ever seen FSU play, and I've been a fan almost 40 years. I've never seen nothing like that. I hope I never see that again, because that was hideous. And I'll be the first as a fan, as a big time Florida State guy, to admit that was an embarrassment. And to me, it looked like Louisville had a game plan and they executed perfectly. Florida State said, we are Florida State. We're going to show up and do what we do when they got beat.
You know what you were talking about earlier, talking about nothing to play for?
Mm-hmm.
This Louisville, we come in here every year and do this. This is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Louisville has something to play for.
Yeah, Louisville said, we sick of y'all. And went out there and Louisville, basically, we waved the white flag in the third quarter. That's just a rarity. We had to ask Louisville for mercy. That's shameful.
Yep.
We had to ask them to stop killing us. So I just believe that I have my doubts about the conservative offense that I see from Florida State. Like, sometimes they go so conservative, I don't understand why. They might run the ball three times and punt. And I'm like, what is that? So the lack of creativity, I think, is what scares me about Jimbo Fisher. As a man, he seems like a great guy. As a coach, he's very multiple. And he is creative, but sometimes in clutch games, he gets too tight. And you start seeing a little weird stuff. Do what got you there.
Yep.
So we'll see if Florida State's going to do that. Are they going to do what got them to be the top team or top three team in the country? Or are they going to come out and we're going to see stuff that's weird? And you'll know when you see it what I mean by weird.
I mean, I hope it's a good game, man. I hope that both teams play well. Yeah, and I'm not completely doubting that either, man. Just based off what I know about and what I've seen from Florida State in the past couple of years, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a blowout either. I mean,
USC ain't just go from nothing last year to number four in the nation this year. I mean, they had to have something last year to be coming back to everybody saying, you know, that there's something this year. You know what I mean?
I got you. See, but yeah. USC had a first-year coach. So whenever you got that first-year type of situation, you got to have low expectations when you have a first-year coach, first-year quarterback, first-year coordinator. Those kind of things always make me leery. And USC came out and looked like their coach did not have experience. And Bama came out looking like they had a veteran coach that taught them how to play and they were ready to play. And honestly, that switching the quarterback saved Bama in that game. If Bama didn't bring Hurts in, that was not looking like they were going to win that game, at least not the way that they did.
It was only the second play of the game to tell that we were going to switch a quarterback. Then you see him come to the sideline with the eyes open and acting like he was still holding the football in his arm.
He looked like he was tripping, right?
Yeah.
So Bama
they
had
showed
to
it.
Him out.
They only showed it on the Jumbotron like 9 times.
Yeah. That was so basically what we know is first year coaches, first year coordinators, new first year starting quarterbacks, it's gonna be hard for them to win a national championship. It's really gonna be hard. Cause it's crazy, man. You got 100,000 people screaming at you. You can't hear, you can't think, a man trying to kill you, you running around, you gotta read the defense, and you gotta listen to the plays, and it's very confusing. And then but once you get used to it and you become a veteran.
It's just like that fight this Saturday. I told all these clowns that went out and bought that shit. I said, look at here. The man only used to fighting four rounds. He's only used to fighting four rounds. When he come in that arena with 20,000 people, it sucks everything out of you.
Yeah.
And all he got to do is survive four rounds, and you're not used to it. Because you used to giving your all in four rounds. I said, he's going to become a sitting duck. Now, granted,
Floyd was way off. Floyd normally 10-point accurate. He was way off. Anybody else would have beat him. I don't know if y'all watched it or not. I know G did.
Yeah, I watched it.
What I thought happened
with Floyd was this. I thought Floyd came ready for a dirty fight. He seemed like he was ready for him to fight dirty. He didn't box that dude at all. There was no jab and there was no setup. He just basically defended himself until the man got tired and then beat him to death. And that was,
well,
that,
he was,
that's definitely
he
what
was
I thought.
That's
plan.
Why he didn't. It wasn't no jabbing in that. He was softball.
No, it wasn't. It was all power punches.
Yeah. And that's definitely what I saw. He just waited till he got tired and finished him. That was it.
Yeah,
the best way
he
could, because you know he's not that big of a puncher, but he definitely got him to the point where they had to stop the fight. And that was about it.
I mean,
give me my money.
Been unconscious.
Yeah, 10-15
dude would have been out.
Tell you what, if
so
he
would have
fought that other kid, Terrence Crawford would have knocked him out the second round. If not the first.
Oh, yeah. Davis would have, too, the one that fought earlier.
Yeah, that kid could punch the kid with the pajamas on.
Yeah.
With the Cookie Monster pajamas.
The pop, yeah. You Cookie Monster, Papa Smurf.
All right, guys.
We got 11 minutes left in the show.
One more question for Billy. I do have a question. What does the Bama offensive line look like? What's the line looking like this year for Bama?
Oh man, that's very experienced on offense. We got the experienced line. Yeah.
That's the question.
But against your defensive line, yeah, that's gonna be kind of ugly.
This defense right here, if they come to play like they can, it's really talented. It's really talented.
And I think
so I had to put a caveat. I had to say if because I've seen them underachieve. But if I can get Brian Burns and Josh Sweat to come off those edges like what I've seen them do in previous times and the secondary player I think this could be a game, guys. I really don't think this could – it shouldn't be a blowout by any means, I don't think.
I was about to ask you, does anybody think Florida State can blow them out, can blow Bama out? I think there is almost no chance of that. I've never seen Bama get blown out other than Ohio State game.
Yeah, I mean, and we've never really – they didn't really get blown out in the Ohio State game. What I think happened was they had a bunch of players out of position a lot, and so like, the deep ball was wide open a lot.
You called Ohio State a blowout?
Yeah, I don't think that was a blowout.
I mean, how many points you call a blowout? I'm saying
17.
Yeah.
That was the final score.
It was 17 points. It was like 8 to 21. No, hell.
No, I don't know.
They let them come back in fourth quarter.
Yeah, having never seen Bama really be blown out, it's hard for me to imagine that happening. If it does happen, Utah. Oh, yeah. And that was in the Sugar Bowl, wasn't it?
Yep.
And that was Urban Meyer in the Sugar Bowl, wasn't it? Wasn't that Urban Meyer's Utah team?
Yep.
And the same Urban Meyer from Ohio State now. That was Urban Meyer's Utah team that came out and kind of ran Bama out.
Put it on from the first to the last.
So if now here's the thing, Florida State has enough talent to win this game big. I just have not seen the talent play to the top of its ability since 13. Now I've seen them play some good games, but I haven't seen them play great like what they did at times in 13 in the national championship year. They had some games where they really played great, and I haven't seen them play that great since then.
You mean when Jameis was the coach?
Yeah, when Jameis was on the team for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
That year, that 13 year, they had some games where, like the Clemson game, for example, where they went in Death Valley and dismantled them. You know, and now that was a blowout. Or they had a couple other games that were really, really good. So I want to see if they have that type of talent on this team, but let's see if Francois can make the transition.
He got to
hit the open man on time.
They have the talent, man. You know they do.
Florida State keeps talent. But like I told Coach Boyd on several different calls, that, again, I haven't seen Jimbo coach them with all the talent they had yet. I really think Jameis Winston had control of that team, just like a LeBron type situation. I think Jameis had complete control of that team, and that's why they
were. You can tell when every time, every week that Jameis got in trouble, Jimbo was damn just squinching. Like, come on, man, really? And then he go in the locker room and come out there dressed up like he going to play to psych the crowd out.
Yeah.
Hey, but I don't know if y'all look at Hard Knocks, man.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I love Jameis, man.
Oh, yeah.
That kid,
he's
a big personality, man. He's a big personality. He a clown like me.
No, man, I think that Jameis is a generational talent. I know I say that for a couple of people, but in terms of college football, you don't get many Jameis. In terms of pros, you don't get many Tom Brady's. So you don't get a lot of quarterbacks that every now and then.
I put him up there. He didn't win like Tebow, but in college he Tebow-ish.
Yeah, well, he didn't play for 2 years. You know, if Jameis comes back for that third year, I'm sure he would have
redshirted and played 2 years.
Yeah. So he would have played his freshman year and then moved up. He might have been Tim Tebow-ish in terms of he could have won another national title. I thought that the year before Jameis took over with E.J. Manuel, I thought that team that year was better than the following year, the 13 team. But you know, Jameis was not the quarterback, and E.J. Manuel was, and sometimes you get suspect stuff out of that situation. But Jameis,
he learned. He learned from that experience because, E.J. was a bad boy too, man.
I thought E.J. Manuel was good, but it's like in the clutch sometimes he would throw the game in terms of not on purpose, but he wouldn't make the big play in the clutch sometimes. That was E.J. Manuel's weakness. But talent-wise, he had all the talent in the world once again. Once again, all talent in the world.
Where is he?
It just never quite showed.
Where is he now? Where is he now?
Where is E.J. Manuel now?
He's
been
in
Buffalo.
He
was in Buffalo.
I
heard.
Yeah, they had him and Hot Rod, whatever.
You mean Tyrod Taylor team?
And
Buffalo?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he's like maybe third string, maybe, if he's still on the team.
Yeah, I think he's second string. And see, E.J. Manuel was a first round draft pick. That tells you that the talent was there.
Yeah.
I think
Tyrod going to Minnesota, isn't he?
No, I think Tyrod got traded somewhere.
Yeah, he got traded somewhere.
No, I didn't know Tyrod got traded.
Yeah, he got traded somewhere before the season started. I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure. But I know for a fact that that was an issue in terms of E.J. Manuel had all the talent in the world, but it never quite showed the way that it should have. And that's my fear in terms of Florida State. They have a bunch of players that are really talented, and sometimes we just don't see them. I don't know what it is that's not developing them fully. It's developing them partially, but just not fully.
I just think Florida State is just keeping them focused and disciplined. Because they got all the talent, dude. They got all the damn talent.
Yeah. They have players that can play. And they have players that are really, really strong. I don't really know what's happening or why.
Man, Tyrod.
I'm not really.
He's still with the Bills. He's
still the quarterback of the Bills.
All right, guys. We got 4 minutes and 20 seconds left in the show. Let's go ahead and close it out strong. Hey, we should be excited. We got a big show coming up. Live show, hopefully video, here in Birmingham, 2nd Avenue North, at Trim Grooming Salon. We'll be in the barbershop doing our thing, music. Bobby Steels will be on the ones and twos. Need everybody to come down for that if you can. I think we start around maybe 5 or 6. You know, everybody having fun, you know. First week of SEC football. We're excited. I mean, I'm excited. I want to see what these teams look like. So next week, I can really do my thing when it comes to analyzing these teams and seeing where they are, even though they may play a couple of cupcakes. I'm excited about it. Can't wait to see you guys there. What you got, Billy?
Hey, like what you call them, say, like Cameron saying, paid in full. I told Rock Davis. People get shot in the leg every day, B.
Well, you watch way.
Hey, man, that man got out the hospital today, man. That man has got out the hospital, man.
You watch way too much TV, player. You're
too big to whine. Man, too big to whine. People get shot every day, B.
Oh, man, here we go.
What you got, coach? What you got? Give me something good, man.
All right, here's the question. I'm gonna put it to y'all right now. Can DeAndre Francois win this game against Bama? That's going to be the question. What Francois shows up? DeAndre Francois shows up, and we see the player that we know he can be. This is going to be an upset, guys.
If he do that, I vote for him for Heisman. If he do that, I promise you.
Yeah, if he does that, because he's got 2 years in, he should know the system. He can read defenses. He's mobile. His arm is strong enough. He's a big enough guy, and he's a tough enough guy to win this game. But
he
what
definitely
player
tough.
Shows up? Yeah, he took hits that I could not believe last year. He took hits I just could not believe. So like, he took the most hits I think I've ever seen a college quarterback take, the most vicious hits. It seemed like every game he took at least two hits that was just horrible. So we'll see. If Francois comes to play against Bama, this game's going to be an upset.
Cool, man. Cool. Hey, we're going to go ahead and end it, man. I'm glad everybody came and called in tonight. We'll see you on, Thursday night? Y'all be good.
Let's get it.
All right, guys. Take care.